Was to take just a moment before we study God's word. If you want to turn in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be there for a little while. But when you think about the words of that last song, is Jesus your one thing? I mean, I pretty much grew up in the church and came to know the Lord when I was 9. And I don't know about you guys, but I have lived my life a lot of the time for the stuff of this world. But the older I get, the more I cling to the reality that it's not that stuff that's going to make me happy. It's not that stuff that's going to fulfill me. It's only the Lord who can do that. And looking at Jesus, the thought of seeing him for the first time is something that's just hard to explain. Something that's just so powerful to think about it. That moment when we will see him face to face. That's what the Bible says. We will see him face to face and we will be like him because of his goodness and his kindness to us. My heart is full today because I know that Jesus is my one thing. Jesus is the one thing I want more than all that other stuff. In Ephesians chapter 1, really Paul has been talking about this concept. He's been talking about this idea. He's been talking about why should we praise the Lord, and he has been taking us through that process. And then when we get to verse 15, he turns our attention to the importance and significance of praying for one another, praying for our other believers. And today, as we look at this passage, it's simple in the sense that saying Jesus is my one thing is simple. But man, it's hard to live out sometimes. It's hard to express what we want to say for other believers and praying for them. But Paul gives us a good list. He gives us a good reflection upon the things that we need to be praying for other people that come into our lives or people that are already a part of that. How do we pray for them? And so as we look here, I want to start in chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 15 through 19. Says, for this reason, I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, if you haven't gotten there. Verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And thirdly, what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So today I want to talk about that concept of how we pray for one another. You know, a lot of times we can get caught in the trap of just praying for our healing, and I'm not saying that's bad. What I'm saying is, do we equally pray for these things that we're going to talk about today in the life of believers? Or is it easier to just simply pray for what we think is their immediate goal? What is your prayer for your child? Your child who is a believer. You know, I tell you, I pray for my kids that they would have favor with certain people, that they would have favor as they go through life, that God would guide their steps and he would lead them to what he wants them to do. But I have to say to you, there's some of these things that we're going to talk about that I don't make a priority in my prayer life. And I want to change that. I want to be different, because God's word teaches us. Through the life of Paul, he teaches us how to pray for others. The first thing that Paul mentions here is praying a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes in the church, there's difficult people. Are you grateful that God has brought them here? Are you grateful that God gives you the opportunity to fellowship with them? Do you seek to move past the surface with them? Get into their life? Dig into what is going on in their life? Paul says, I start by saying, I've heard about you and the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. I am so grateful that God has placed you here. And this is something I want to say to you as a pastor. I am grateful that God has placed you here. I am grateful that you are part of the family of God that meets at Lake Sharon Community Church. I am grateful that we get to share life together. And as Paul started this, he said how grateful he was. You know that Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament. Here's some of the passages that he writes to people in the beginning of his books. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being proclaimed through the whole world. The beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. The book of Philippians, Philippians 1:3, Paul says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all. Colossians, he says this in Colossians 1:3. He says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 says this, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. Don't miss that he said there, we give thanks to God for all of you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. In Philemon, have you ever read the book of Philemon about Paul reaching out to another brother of his, Philemon, and asking him to take back his slave that had left, run away? It's a very powerful book about forgiveness and the importance and significance of forgiveness. Paul says this, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love, of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Now, he was saying that to a man that he was about to ask to do something that is it's a hard ask. It's a hard thing to do, to say to somebody, we need to exercise forgiveness toward this brother or sister in Christ. We need to treat them as if they are precious and lovely, because they are to God. They're important to him. And so he starts his prayer with this idea, the idea of thankfulness, gratefulness for the love that he has for all people in the church. Those who might be difficult at times, those who might be immature in the faith, those who might try to control things, those who might try to see things differently. Paul says, we are to have thankfulness for one another. When I think about our fellowship here, are we a people that gives thanks for the people that are around us, that we are in small group with? Do we give thanks that God has placed us there and God has brought them? Do we give thanks for the times when it's difficult to give thanks? But we don't only give thanks when everything goes our way. We give thanks all the time, because that is who we are. And that is who God has made us to be. The numerous spiritual blessings that we have talked about already in Ephesians chapter 1 are reason enough to give thanks, to give honor, to tell God how thankful we are that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, we could look at that for ourselves, but Think about that for the person sitting next to you, on your left or on your right. Are you thanking God for that person? Are you taking a moment when you come into worship to say, thank you, Lord, that so-and-so is here? Are you focused enough on that individual that you are willing to do that? Or do you just collectively say, Lord, thank you for everybody that's here? You and I, to be everything God wants for us to be, must learn the importance of sharing our gratefulness and asking God to continue to bless the person that I may not know that's sitting next to me, or that has opposed me in some of the things that I've tried to do, or that I just don't feel like doing that. We're still called to it. We're still called to do it, no matter what. And so Paul talks about, in the beginning of this prayer, he talks about the importance of offering up thanksgiving for others. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I know you guys have probably heard this verse before. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's an expression of thanksgiving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. God knows our heart before we ever pray and ask Him. That's why we need to be people of integrity who don't think differently, but we act on what we think, meaning we express that love and compassion to others. A second thing that Paul talks about here is a prayer of enlightenment for fellow believers.
I don't call it.
I don't think that's my watch. Lord, please help me. He says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. I want to stop there. He talks about really this phrase, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, applies to all three of these things that we're going to talk about here. The first one is revealed in this purpose statement, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. You know, when we think about the hope of His calling, He's not just talking about those that I've called to do a specific work or a specific task. He is talking about all of us who have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Remember what we said last week? You and I cannot make up our mind, okay, it's time for me to follow God. What does He have to do? He has to draw us to Himself. He has to reveal to us the work of Jesus on our behalf, personally. God is the one who does that. We are not the one who discovers it all of a sudden. And now my life is going to be different because I've discovered it. God has got to do a work in our heart. He's got to open our eyes to see who He is, what He has done on our behalf, and how we need to respond to Him. So when He looks at here, this hope that we have in Jesus Christ, it is a hope that is anchored to Jesus. It's a hope that is confident and sure. You know, when people ask you, well, do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I sure hope so. Don't say that. Please don't say that. Be confident about that reality. God has called you, as He talked about in the first part of this chapter. He has chosen you for salvation. That is a good thing. It's a good thing to share. You're not saying that He's not chosen the other person. You're just simply saying, hey, this is what's true of me and my experience with the Lord. Is He doing the same thing in your life? Is He leading you and guiding you to fulfill the hope of His calling? The confidence, the assurance that, hey, this is for real. This isn't some game we play. This is something that's for real because God Himself has done it for us. God is the one who has saved us, not we ourselves, as He's going to talk about later. So the first one here is to know the hope of His calling. Believers are called by God. Have you ever heard the song that's sung by Kingdom Porch called Faithful Still? It has this phrase in it. It says, I have a hope. I have a future. I'm a child of the mountain mover. Is that true of you? Do you have that sense of hope that no matter what the future holds? And boy, is this the time to talk about that. We don't know what's going to happen in the election that's coming up. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, really tomorrow. We might think we do. We might have plans about tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We might have a 5-year plan laid out. But what's going to happen if God changes that plan? He's still going to be the one you cling to? Or are you going to cling to that plan? You see, there is a reason for why He has given us a hope. The second thing that is mentioned here is, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? What are the riches? You and I need to start seeing the things God has given to us, the heavenly things, as spiritual blessings. I used to say all the time, I am so poor. I tell my kids that. I'm poor. I can't buy you tennis shoes or whatever. And the Lord convicted me about that. The Lord convicted me that, am I teaching my children what a great inheritance they have in Christ Jesus? Am I teaching them the importance of recognizing the riches that are available to us in Christ Jesus? I mean, the Bible says we have everything we need for life and godliness. We have been given that by God Himself, and that is a blessing. So the second one is to know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Didn't say our inheritance. It's not something we built up like a retirement plan or something like that. It's something God has said, I want those who are believers in me to have these blessings. Are you living in that richness? I know, it's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard to stay focused when things come around me that distract me or cause me to doubt. But if we are going to be the believers that God wants us to be, this community of people who know the Lord, shouldn't we be excited about what He has already given to us and what He has prepared for us in the future? There's a third thing that is mentioned here. It says, and what is the boundless greatness of His power toward us who believe? God has given us a kind of greatness that the world could never give us. He has given us a kind of greatness in our relationship with Him, not because we're such wonderful people and God needs us, but because of who He is. He has given us His inheritance. He has given us the blessing of knowing Him. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. It's 1 Peter 1:3. So powerful. But as we look at this third one, to know the boundless greatness that God has given to us, we are recipients of that. As Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. If you think about that, God has given us as believers everything we need for life and for godliness. He may not have given it to us as we hoped or as we thought or as we expected. But have you spent some time to learn about the things that God has given us in Christ? That's what this is about. It's about learning the importance and significance of what God has made available to us. And we learn that as we pray for one another, as we lift up a prayer on behalf of the person that may be sitting here that we don't know. Or maybe it's someone we do know. Are we praying for them today? That's really what Paul is saying in the first part of this book. He's saying it's so important for us to learn to pray for one another. So, I want us to take just a few minutes. We haven't done this in quite a while, but I'm going to ask you, you may not know their name, but I'm going to ask you if you would pray for the person on your left first. And then as we continue in that time of prayer, you would pray for the person to your right. Let's join in prayer together.